Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com. You're probably already there. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song with his wife, Sarah, that you just heard. He's going to sing his version of the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio, and Vilmos works on JackieCation.com, the website. There are many ways to support the show. The Amazon link is one. You can use an Amazon link from JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com to go to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show. There is a straight-up donation button, PayPal or Venmo, to this email address that is mine, Jackie@JackieCation.com, where you can just donate to the show if you like the show a lot. I think PayPal has figured out a way to do a monthly. If you want to go monthly, please do. Other ways to support the show if you want to is you can buy merch. There's Dork Forest t-shirts, and all the shirts are union made here in America, so they run a little big. Union Bayside, so if you want to look up their size chart. And then the other merch is my stand-up merch. On JackieCation.com, you can watch me do stand-up, you can look at my schedule, and the stand-up merch, a couple of different t-shirts, couple of different enamel pins, and all of my CDs and my DVD. If you want to live stream my DVD, it's over there at comedyfilmnerds.com. They have a live streaming capability, or you can get a hard copy of the DVD on my website. Oh, there are premium episodes at Bandcamp. TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com has probably 10 episodes that were done live. They cost me a couple of bucks to make, so I charge you a couple of bucks. If you've run out of regular episodes, go over to TheDorkForest.bandcamp.com and get some more. Other than that, I say this, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room, finally, with Brian Posehn. Welcome to the program, Brian Posehn.
Thanks for having me. I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
This is the Dork Forest. This has you all over it.
I know. Heard about it when you started it 35 years ago.
Back then, it was just a small, we just had a cart, and it was great. Yeah, so Brian Posehn, everybody. Oh, I forgot to ask. It's just at Brian Posehn on all the things.
Yeah, it's the Brian Posehn on a couple of things, like I think on
Twitter,
Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, Twitter, it's definitely the.
Okay, and Instagram?
Instagram is just Brian Posehn.
There you go. And there is probably a BrianPosehn.com?
Yes.
Okay.
That's where all the tour dates and all the.
Right. So everyone knows that Brian Posehn is a great comic. So go find
him. They do?
And, everyone. Well, all of my listeners, I think.
Well, good.
There you go. And so this will air at the end of August. You were going to be the D.C. Arlington Draft House the 12th and 14th, and Seattle at the Neptune Theater.
In September, yeah.
In September of the 20th. So September dates are the next big dates that people could find you.
Yes.
Exciting. Let us finally, and of course, everyone knows that we're going to talk about music, so I won't know anything.
Well, not necessarily. There are so many things that I'm nerdy about, but I'm glad when you suggested metal.
Heavy metal.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think that you perhaps you've discussed it too much.
Metal?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because there's certain specific things. Like, people know me, you know, comedy fans know I'm just that metalhead guy.
Right.
Metal fans know that I've talked about a bunch of certain bands or specific bands. Like, I'm known for being a proponent of the Bay Area thrash metal scene, which is what I grew up close to in the 80s. I was reading metal fanzines and in high school.
Okay.
Hearing about all these bands that were an hour away from me. I lived in Sonoma. And
right.
So I've talked about those a lot. Narrated a new documentary called Murder in the Front Row.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is about
those bands.
80s Bay Area thrash scene. So it's Metallica, Exodus,
Oh, those are real.
Yeah, a band called Violence. You've never heard them.
No.
Testament.
Okay.
Death Angel.
No. I've Snow Angel.
Scary metal names. Yeah.
Scary metal names.
Death Angel. They were like 15-year-old kids, and they called themselves that, and now they're 50-year-old men, and they're like, man, we're still called Death Angel. But
and everybody still working? I know Metallica's still
most
working.
Of those bands are. Yeah, and some have gone away and then come back. But so that's a thing that you know I think most metalheads know that I'm really into. But before that, like, it was the British heavy metal, which got, you know, and a lot of that thrash metal is influenced by this group of, or this...
The earlier.
Yeah, but it's called New Wave of British heavy metal, which is late 70s, early 80s. So it doesn't really include Sabbath and Deep Purple.
Okay, so Black Sabbath and Deep Purple are
traditional British heavy metal. That's where it started.
They are. Okay.
Sabbath started metal.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Now, this I did not know.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that Black Sabbath, I've heard of Black Sabbath. One of my brothers had an album. So how many
albums? They were the first band to specifically go, you know, Led Zeppelin was heavy.
Yeah.
But right around that same time, Sabbath went, hey, what if we did like music? We love horror movies. We love British horror movies.
Oh.
Hammer films and all those. Like, what if we did that, but musically?
Okay.
And so, like, if you listen to the first track, Black Sabbath, on Black Sabbath, it feels like you're watching a horror movie. Like, it opens, like, with rain and, you know, like, gongs. And like,
so, right. So, literally, like, old-timey
chimes,
horror.
Not gongs. But, yeah, but it feels like you're in a horror
and
movie.
And that's, so they're essentially
and that
rock
was
musicians.
1970 or 72. I'm bad with those years because I wasn't.
Yeah, you
listening
were
to them then?
Really sentient.
No.
Yeah, if even
I
around.
Was, but yeah, but I wasn't a cool enough 4-year-old.
Right,
like
it turns out it's real hard to get into into the good ones. Connie Francis, like her a lot, just wasn't there for her in 65.
Nice.
But, so.
And then after that is
was
you know,
Deep Purple?
Yeah, Deep Purple is considered
heavy metal as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're like 74, right?
Right, and they're different style. They're
what makes it heavy, man? What makes it heavy?
To me, it's the distortion. It's the guitars but it's. All those bands, I don't know, man.
The thing that came before was what felt to be like sort of guitar rock, where you could hear everything and you could delineate between the different instruments.
Right.
And then heavy metal feels very
it's tuned differently.
Yeah.
It's more distortion.
Right.
Faster, heavier.
It's faster.
Metal can also be really, really slow. Like there's some forms of metal that I'm not even into, where it's sounds like you're dragging like a refrigerator across a piece of concrete.
But
like,
also loud. But also loud and heavy. So I get that. I think of it as loud and sort of, and there's an attitude with it.
Right. But the stuff that I love, the British stuff that I wanted to talk about, is. More like Iron Maiden and UFO, and UFO really influenced the band Iron Maiden.
Okay, I've never heard of UFO. Let's do UFO
it's
first.
It's twin guitars. It's more melodic.
What's twin guitars? Is that
two guitars? So a rhythm and a lead, or sometimes two leads. Two guys playing. Like Judas Priest is really two leads, and so are the Scorpions. And but UFO was the one. That as a teenager, all the older kids were into it. Like my buddy Tony, his older brother Mike, that drove the Camaro, had the UFO bumper sticker on it. So that was like, UFO. They've got to be fucking cool if Mike's into them because Mike's like the coolest teenager I've ever seen. He's got a mustache.
Oh my God.
And he was totally our Sonoma Matthew McConaughey. Mike was a badass.
That guy had
These kids threw a water balloon at Mike's car while he was driving and it broke his windshield and he punched like three kids. He chased these kids and beat them up. He's a badass. So
he's 16 and he chased like 10-year-olds.
So if he liked UFO,
I had to hear
what UFO
that
was all about.
That is the greatest Mike story ever. I'm really hoping Mike found some help.
Yeah. And, no, he's a good dude, I'm sure.
I'm sure
it all
fine.
Worked out. He probably sure. supports Trump.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck Mike.
Oh, Mike. What went wrong? We could see it coming. Yeah, so if UFO, they have twin guitars.
Yes, and then one of my all-time favorite guitar players is this guy, Michael Schenker. He's the lead guitar player for UFO.
Okay.
And he started, he's a German kid. He started, you've heard the band Scorpions?
I did not know it was plural. Is there a scorpion?
No, Scorpions, you know. Okay, and it's not and the Scorpions.
It's just Scorpions.
Scorpions. Okay. You know them, right?
No.
Oh my God!
I know. Here's what I tell all music fans.
Well, this is fun for me.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, you can send me.
How do you describe Scorpions? Because they're huge.
And they're British?
Yeah. No. So, what? Like, did you have any heavy metal friends in the '80s or in the '90s when you were a kid? And or like an uncle that listened to weird music?
I had the Deep Purple and the Black Sabbath were two albums that my stepmother owned.
Okay.
And then
in
the '80s, you
remember which ones or?
Black Sabbath, I think it was Black Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
But I never listened
kind
to
of
it.
Kind spooky cover with like witches
yeah,
on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. It looked scary. Yes. I did not. I couldn't do it. It was all black and it had sort of a dark lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then and Deep Purple, I like Jethro Tull better. She also had a Jethro Tull album.
Uh-huh.
And
Jethro Tull is a hard one for heavy metal fans because they're Iron Maiden's covered Jethro Tull and made them heavier.
Okay.
But they have a flautist in their band.
Right, that flute. I used to think that was the name of the flautist, Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull, it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah,
and yet it was...
It's not really a British-y name, Jethro Tull.
It's
Jethro Tull. That sounds like more of a southern name.
Because is Jethro Tull British as well?
Oh, the band? Yes.
Yeah. So what's... Is there a hit that Scorpions did that I wouldn't know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think... we can't play stuff.
Right. What I do encourage people to do is to send me a Spotify list of eight songs that would be a great introduction.
So their biggest song is not one of my favorite songs.
Sure. Well, that's because you're a real fan. You got into the ground
but
floor.
But you would
Scorpions.
Probably know what's the one. It's I'm hearing the lyrics in my head, and hold on, I'm looking it up.
I think you could sing it. No.
No one wants that. Winds of Change.
Okay.
It's about the wall coming down in Germany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, and it's also...
So it was from like...
Yeah.
Like 87?
I think 1990 it came out.
90?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their biggest, like, and it's more of a...
A ballad?
A ballad.
I do love a heavy metal ballad, and
but they're known for more doing anthems. That's what I liked about them, and that's what a lot of Iron Maiden. But Scorpions again is a German band, so anyway, when they first started, they were started by two German teenagers, Rudolf and Michael Schenker.
Okay,
and then Michael Schenker only played on like one or two Scorpions records, and then. And he was a kid and then left and went to England and joined UFO.
And he's UFO, your favorite guitar player.
One of my all-time favorites. Yeah. And then they wound up influencing Iron Maiden.
Okay.
They're like, UFO as a kid didn't feel like a British band because, do you remember Thin Lizzy? Do you know Thin Lizzy?
I've heard, I don't know.
So Thin Lizzy is an Irish band, but they wrote, you know, it all felt like... songs, it all felt like American rock.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, it was so weird to me when you find out that these people are British because they all have American accents when they sing the lyrics.
Right.
And it's, I don't know if that's, is that a marketing choice?
I don't know. Scorpions, if you do a deep dive, which I'm sure you won't, they do sound very German.
Okay.
They're a band where you know exactly where they're from.
Right.
As soon as they open their mouths, they can't hide it. But British bands, yeah, a lot of them, you wouldn't know.
Right. You don't know. And is UFO, is it mostly an American accent kind of sound?
Yeah. The singer never sounded...
British.
Super British-y.
Yeah, yeah. super with that, the original English. And so... So UFO had, so they had two guitar players, and did they have a full band? Was there a...
Yeah, and then, but it was anthems, pretty melodic, not super heavy.
Right.
Because that's the thing, I love heavy music, but I also love hooks.
Right.
And songs, you know, and simple, you know.
And so,
verse,
so,
chorus, you know.
Yeah, and so do you sing along? You like a bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes with some stuff, you're just listening to it, and you're like, well, there's no way to sing along. And I do like to sing along.
UFO's a band that, you know my wife,
yep.
Melanie. So Melanie grew up having, like, metalhead boyfriends, and so she wasn't afraid of me when she met me.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it all worked out for me. You know?
That is great.
Except for when she goes, all my boyfriends liked Rush, and I'm like, all?
I'm right here. And
yeah, and I love Rush.
Oh, but, do you love Rush?
Yeah, but the fact that
oh.
she's saying all. Like, how many all?
Wait a minute, people.
But yeah.
Have you ever heard Henry Phillips joke about, it's an old joke of his about how he was... having sex with his girlfriend, and she said, I like it when people do, and he goes, people? What people?
People, that's amazing.
Anyway, so
she was already prepared, and but UFO was a band that was kind of a blind spot for her.
Okay.
She didn't really know them. And
it's always nice to introduce someone to a new band they've never heard of.
And they actually have ballads, and their ballads aren't cheesy. There's the song Love to Love, and one of my all-time favorite live records.
It's on, UFO?
Yeah.
Love to Love? Is that the name of the album?
No, it's Strangers. God, Stoney's old brain. All these things I know so well, and then when I'm talking about
right, right.
Them,
well, like, here's...
Strangers in the Night? Yeah, UFO Live.
And
thank God Grandpa has his little device.
You got an Iron Maiden sticker on the back of your phone.
I sure do.
What Iron Maiden songs would I know?
They're
big deal.
I'm going to get really in it. Okay, so yeah. Strangers in the Night.
Okay.
79 was
1979.
A double live record, UFO. And then Michael Schenker left and started his own band. And so when I was in high school... He was already out of UFO and doing the Michael Schenker group or
oh he didn't find a new name like the Devil's Tears or anything like he didn't
no
why
he wanted to be the spotlight he already kind of was in UFO and you know or,
he wanted to be called Michael Schenker and the Ronettes
and have everybody know
and how, is he still working still working right
uh-huh
what's the name of his current iteration.
Michael Schenker. Oh. Michael Schenker Group.
The Michael Schenker Group? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so...
So my Maiden...
Yeah. Before we go what the UFO lyrics, like...
Pretty
they're supposed
simple,
to be anthems.
Yeah, pretty simple. They're...
There's got to be lines that make a 14-year-old go, yeah, man.
With them, no. I mean, there was a song called Doctor Doctor, which...
What is that? Sounds like it should be on Dr. Demento.
It was more the attitude and the music. And then the guitar solos were insane, you know. And that was before I heard Randy Rhoads. At that point, Eddie Van Halen and then Michael were the two best. In my preteen, it must have been 13, 14.
Right, but the love of the guitar riff was strong in these years, and it was Eddie Van Halen and Michael Schenker.
Yes, and then Judas Priest is another band, which at the same time, British band, but they had two guitar players, K.K. Downing and Glenn Tipton, and they both played leads, and do you know them at all?
No, but are they like, is it like...
You know, Breaking the Law...
No, it's
breaking the law. Breaking the law. No, nothing.
Nothing. You know what? It's weird. Of all the one albums that I buy of every band that I get into, I don't have any heavy metal. It's very weird. I have one album of probably 30 different hip hop stars and some pop. Not enough. Like, I don't own a Katy Perry album or anything, but I ballads and weird. Because in 1979, you'll be happy to know that I was listening to Harry Chapin.
Oh, man.
no one could be sadder than Harry Chapin. I mean, the thing is if you wanted to celebrate some sadness, you really...
I can't even name one right now.
What? Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, okay, that's him. Yeah.
Taxi. Yeah. The taxi driver one.
I don't know that one.
It's the one about the woman who hits on the taxi driver and he's like, nah. And she tips him $20 and he keeps the tip. And it's a story and it's a ballad. I look back at it and cringe a little bit because you're like, this isn't right. The greatest song you've ever...
Well, I mean, I'm super guilty of that. A lot of heavy metal is pretty dumb.
So and you look back at it and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the worst is probably where I started, Kiss.
Oh, okay. Were you a member of the Kiss Army?
Well,
congratulations. Yeah, yeah. Now, the Kiss, I babysat for
I
a kid that was...
discharged as a teenager.
Well, as long as you...
Yeah, I still support them.
Right, you'll get your pension.
I'll fly the flag on Veterans Day.
I babysat for a kid whose older brother was a big Kiss fan, and he's in a band called Beatallica, which is a Beatles-Metallica
yes.
mashup.
I know exactly who they are.
He's the lead singer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
His nickname's Tinker.
I didn't know. Are they still performing?
They are, mostly in Europe.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
He is also in an Irish folk band. Like, he's in three different bands, and he's a great guitarist, and he sounds exactly like that guy who's the lead singer of Metallica.
Oh, like James Hetfield.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, he sounds like that. And then, my favorite headshot of theirs was the four of them dressed as, you remember the Beatles album where they're in uniform? Sergeant Pepper. Yeah. They were wearing that, but all their uniforms are trashed because they're Beatallica. It's a Beatles Metallica.
Oh,
mansion.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
Kiss, the Kings of Bad Lyrics. And UFO, back to them, they were a little smarter than, but if I'm trying to think of like what hooked me in, it really was it's really the songwriting and not so much the lyrics, if that makes sense. You know,
it was the music rather than the
really,
words.
Yeah, and like because the songs I remember, you're singing along to a song called Rock Bottom.
Yeah,
there's Lights Out in London, which it's about, I guess, lights going out in London.
No, it's got to be about the Blitzkrieg.
And then when
it?
They play live, they say on the Strangers in the Night record because they're in Chicago. They're like, lights out, Chicago.
Oh, well, they're not.
And
they're
fucking
not.
Chicago loses their mind.
That's because that band knows what they're doing.
They
know
what they were doing. Yeah,
that's awesome.
They were playing huge arenas then. And
oh, that's so great. UFO was playing huge arenas.
At the end of the 70s.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the harder music at that time was mostly American. It was Boston and Ted Nugent.
Okay.
Things like that, but then, you know, these other British bands, UFO.
And they were
Judas
playing,
Priest was breaking in the
like
late 70s,
baseball stadiums,
too.
Right? Like giant stadiums,
pretty big,
full of.
In the Bay, it was a place called the Cow Palace. That's where all the big bands. I went to see Van Halen and all those bands and Rush.
Have you seen a lot of bands live?
A million.
A million bands. Have you seen UFO live?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much the only band I never saw that I was into. I didn't get to see original Kiss. I saw reunions later. But when I was as a kid, and then Ozzy Osbourne with Randy Rhoads, didn't get to see, but I was super into.
Right.
My mom just wasn't, I wasn't driving yet, and she also didn't trust me to get in a friend's drive an hour and a half away to these places, and Zeppelin. Zeppelin is the big one that I wish I could have.
Because
I was into, but.
But, right.
The drummer died, like, while I was in junior high.
So. Okay.
Those are the big regrets. But everybody else that I was into,
I've seen. Yeah. Have you ever seen REO Speedwagon?
Yeah, but they weren't somebody I was into. But they would play these Day on the Greens in San Francisco where it would just be like eight bands in
that's
one
right.
day. Yeah,
you end up seeing bands that you're not really... Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to a concert like that where you ended up being a fan of a band that you did not know that you would have been a fan of?
That somebody won me over?
Yeah, kind of a live show that...
I'm trying to think.
Or even just...
Well, I went to... And it's more... It's in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But I went to Oasis and the Black Crowes.
Oh, wow.
As a fan of neither. And I wound up liking both of them a lot more than I previously did.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one where I was like, those guys are... all very good musicians.
They really are. I mean, that is kind of the trip when you see live music and you're like, oh, you've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, oh, this is your thing. Yeah, you're pretty good.
That's not a...
You should keep doing that.
You're not just noodling around right there with the
guitar.
People
really seem to like you.
And look at all these people.
Yeah.
So what was... favorite concerts that you've seen? Like, were there concerts you saw that kind of blew your mind?
Yeah, there's a few still that stick out. Henry Rollins, UFO, we were talking about UFO, but
yeah.
Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Is still one of the craziest things I've ever seen live, or when they first started. Just the energy.
Oh, wow.
And just Eddie Vedder. Was swinging around this club, and we all thought he was going to die, falling from the ceiling. And he was
literally swinging.
Yeah, and security's like following him underneath him, like, to catch him. And
yeah,
and it was crazy. And then this show I saw in the Bay, you heard the Bad Brains ever?
Nope.
I love you.
There's not a band that I have heard of.
Wow,
it's too bad. The Bad
Legendary
Brains.
Legendary Bad Brains.
Okay,
punk rock.
Oh, okay.
DC.
DC punk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And four pissed off black guys.
And
then the 80s, they crossed over and played some reggae stuff, and then would also play metal, kind of punk metal mixed.
Right.
And still one of the craziest shows I ever saw was a band called Leeway. And the Bad Brains together. Leeway was a New York punk band, or New York punk metal band, crossover band. Crossover just means combining.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
Have you heard of that?
That I've heard where it's kind of a mashup. I saw Ice-T with a heavy metal...
Body Count?
Yeah.
His metal band.
I saw that at the a Lollapalooza Jane's Addiction.
Yes.
So
you're familiar with modern music.
I have accidentally seen some modern music. Let me tell you something. I did not enjoy Ice-T with Body Count.
That's all right.
That'll happen.
I'm not a huge fan of that.
No, but there's but that's because it was not what I expected it to be. And and it also
expect?
Rained.
Oh, okay.
So
rain ruins everything.
My social skills are not good enough to be in a crowd with a bunch of muddy humans. And
I get it.
They live for that moment.
I love concerts, mm-hmm. but I also hate it.
Because of the proximity of humanity?
Yeah. And then being part vampire like me, if I go to like an all-day concert out in the sun,
right?
I have to hydrate. Constantly,
right.
And stay in the shade and try not to catch on fire.
Right. Well, you are enormously pale.
Yeah.
And then you're huge. So
Irish and Viking.
Irish and Viking that needs almost gallons of water, I should imagine.
Yes.
Do you wear a hat, I say, hopefully?
Oh, yeah. A lot of hats.
A lot of hat. Brian Posehn, you guys, a lot of hat.
I wear a lot of hat.
Look for the floppy hat. I think I've seen pictures of you in a floppy hat.
Yeah, I love a bucket hat.
More than a baseball.
Oh, much more. I cover the whole face with the bucket hat.
Right. So is it really the energy? Because the thing is when you watch somebody play the guitar or any instrument, you're just, and it can be fascinating.
Well, yeah, it is.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Rangers, this is an ad for nativedeodorant.com. I have used a lot of deodorants, and I usually avoid ones that have aluminum in them because it may be linked to breast cancer and other illnesses. So I have tried this native deodorant, which one did I get? I got lavender and rose. That's right, because lavender is supposed to be calming, and God knows I need it, but it works, and I love it. Native is formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc. It's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as, actually the most popular one I think is coconut oil. The coconut and vanilla is their most popular scent. Lavender and rose is the one that I picked. Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for men and women. Plus, they release limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. So if you go to nativedeodorant.com and use the code DORK, you'll get 20% off your first purchase. They also offer free returns and exchanges in the USA, just so you know. And if you subscribe like if you use deodorant regularly, often, a lot, you can do a subscription. You save $2 per stick and have Native delivered right to your door every 1, 2, 3, or 4 months. So it depends how often you use it. Anyway, so go to nativedeodorant.com, use the code promo code DORK during checkout, and get 20% off your first purchase. Let's get back into the show.
So I'm currently turning my son on to Iron Maiden, and we're going to see...
Is that a good start? Is that a good start? Because he's like nine, right? Eight or nine?
He's 10.
He's 10.
So what I did is I made him... I didn't want to be one of those dads that I see on YouTube where it's a two-year-old, you know, banging their head to the most intense metal shit, you know?
Right.
I didn't want to be playing death metal to my two-year-old, and so I didn't.
Like, and so
I saved that stuff when I was alone.
Yeah.
All the other music I was into. So I played...
That's like, actually... That's good, because...
I grounded him. First, I played, like, baby versions of bands.
Okay.
You would get these... Like, I would get Beatles songs, but it was all, like, when he was real little. Like,
oh, there were covers of them?
Yeah. And it's basically just keyboards, you know? And,
okay.
And so we started with that, the Ramones... Pixies, all this stuff.
Wait, are you talking about actual baby versions of them? Like literally single piano?
Yeah.
Versions of
really
pop?
And they make it palatable to a baby's ears.
And you're like, I need you to know this song.
Yeah.
So that when you're 10 years old,
exactly,
you will recognize this song from when you were...
Melanie and I played that shit nonstop when he was tiny.
And I love that you weren't a snob about it. You're just like, this is kind of a...
I still like, because it's... The Pixies. It's still a Pixie song. You're listening to it, and you're just like, oh, that's that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been music.
This Monkey's
so much.
Gone to
it's
Heaven,
just,
but you, yeah.
Is it just stripped down?
It's just not stripped down,
yeah,
and it's not like
music.
No,
right.
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's a million bands have done it. Like, I think we even had a Metallica one, you know.
Right, right.
But then, when he was younger, we played the Beatles a lot, and then AC/DC, Ramones... The Clash.
Oh, that's...
You know,
yeah.
just rock, really.
Like full-on any Iron Maiden?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
So, nothing really heavy other than Sabbath. He's heard Sabbath since he was little.
Okay.
And he knows Ozzy Osbourne since he was little. Like, he would sing Crazy Train. You at least know Crazy Train, right?
No, I don't know Crazy Train. No, I mean, I might if I heard it, but
it's been in commercials, Jackie.
I definitely haven't, because I have to tell you how much I avoid a commercial. Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. So you know who Ozzy Osbourne is?
Yes. He's married to that woman
for Black Sabbath. Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah. See, I did not know he was the singer for Black Sabbath. Okay, that's okay.
So Black Sabbath.
And Black Sabbath started it all.
Yeah, Black Sabbath is Ozzy Osbourne, the singer.
Yeah.
Tony Iommi, the guitar player. Bill Ward, the drummer. And Geezer Butler.
The greatest name in the world.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Geezer.
I think he owns a bar called Geezer's Place, which God bless him.
Yeah, there's no reason to leave. That's leaving money on the table, not naming everything Geezer's.
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, you'll be happy to know. I'm making a list of things to listen to when I'm going to listen to The Winds of Change by the UFO.
See, that's Scorpions.
Scorpions, sorry.
But that's not my favorite.
I wrote Germans.
Yeah, that's not my favorite Scorpion song, but that's their most famous. And I'm sure when you hear it, you'll go, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Go a little deeper, though.
What's your favorite Scorpion song, offhand?
Their albums are earlier, so I like this. Entrance is a little weird. Don't do that.
Don't go there. Entrance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Super German and
sure.
Psychedelic late 70s. But Love Drive and Animal Magnetism are like the two like nerdy
ones that you like.
Scorpions records.
Offhand.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole album.
Those are the two records. Yeah.
So just pick something off of there and kind of listen around. And then Love to Love by the UFO.
Yeah.
Bad Brains by
Love
is
to
a band.
Like their ballad, a UFO's ballad.
That's a ballad, which I love.
But it's really good.
I love, you remember?
It's not just a ballad, though. It's epic. And then there's a ton of guitar at the end of it.
Oh, that's cool. It's Bad Brains is the name of the DC punk band, right?
Yeah.
So I was just going to look them up. And then Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. Bad Brains. Some people like their punk stuff more.
a nice.
I was just going to say Rick Ocasek from The Cars produced them, but do you even know?
Yeah, I know who that is. Okay, because there were videos.
Cars
when
are the
I was
things that people drive in. Right, and they're also a rock
and
band.
MTV was a thing in 1984 when I went to college, and it was on the television all the time.
Yeah.
So Rick Ocasek produced it?
The Bad Brains.
The Bad Brains. Okay,
their first record.
Okay, so I'll look for that.
Yeah.
All right. So. The baby versions of all of these songs come in.
And then we played, you know, these other bands that I was into. And then in the last couple of years, just whenever, you know, he hears all this stuff, but he's gotten into Metallica through that. I still wasn't playing it all the time. You know, and I kind of would pick the moment. And I'd go, hey, man, check this out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I've done that with a few bands, and he's really into Queen.
Okay.
And he loves Kiss.
Queen's fun, and Kiss is really fun.
He loves Kiss. He loves Metallica. And then this week, I've been pushing Maiden because Iron Maiden is playing. They're touring right now.
Oh, wow.
And Mel and I are like these older bands. You never know. Like, we went to see Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And then the week later, he died. And we're like, if we didn't go to that? You know,
Because
we missed Merle Haggard. When he came to town. Sabbath was touring. Mm-hmm. And so we picked Sabbath because we thought Ozzy was going to die first. And then Haggard died.
And then Merle Haggard died.
Yeah. Well, we had tickets for both. And then Ozzy actually had to move the date around, so the Sabbath got moved, and then we had to choose.
Yeah.
We had tickets for Haggard in, and we're like, Haggard will be around. Nope.
That guy just fell Sabbath over. Sabbath continues.
But anyway, so that's why we're, you know, Maiden. Right. They're all 60-year-old British gentlemen. And,
right.
So we're going to go up to Portland because I'm on the road when they're here.
Oh,
so.
Fair enough.
Making a full thing of it. And so as I was preparing for this, you know, I've been turning my kid on to him. And they're like, I hesitate to do like a top five of my all time.
How many albums do they have?
They have a ton.
Because they've been going nonstop. They never broke up.
Since 1980. Yeah. And in the early years, they had a record every year.
Wow.
The first 6 or 8 years of their existence.
Really? And how are those albums?
They're all amazing. I love all of them.
They're all great. And they're all an hour, 45 minutes, 30, 45 minutes.
And then they were touring too.
What?
I don't even know how they did it. Like,
that's so
a
much
lot of
content.
Bands did that in the 70s. Like Van Halen is
another.
You've heard of Van Halen?
Yes,
right?
I've heard of Van Halen. And Jump.
They're local boys.
Are they from Los Angeles?
Yeah, Pasadena, right over there, right?
Luther Burbank. It's Glendale. And
But Van Halen was like an album a year for a while too.
Okay.
Yeah. And then touring.
So these first six albums that they have at least a dozen albums.
So for me, Maiden. So in 1980,
and that's what you call them. You call them Maiden. You don't call them Iron.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I'm pretty much, if I had to do top five, it's Rush, Maiden.
Oh, okay.
Metallica, Beastie Boys.
Okay. Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then maybe Pixies,
maybe
something more traditional like Sabbath. But those are the bands that I've listened to the most for the longest and the most intensely.
Right.
And
five bands probably have 100 albums between them.
But they do. They're all pretty prolific. All those bands.
Right. They've got to at least have the. I mean, the Pixies, I know, have like, didn't they break up and then get back together or something?
Yeah, they've got three, I would say, perfect records, and then the rest are
just fine.
Also okay.
But
they're like the least prolific, I think, of the bands I mentioned. And the Beastie Boys only have.
And the Beastie Boys I thought they were hip-hop.
They are.
Okay.
But I also love hip-hop.
Right.
I could do this.
You're a whole person.
I could do this with you.
Also
I
also, about
I
hip-hop.
Worked at a record store.
Oh,
I was
okay.
The hip-hop guy when I had long hair and had a heavy metal jacket and
no
wore
one
Stussy
should be
clothes.
Surprised to find out that you worked at a record store.
And
yeah.
I had hair past my
in the Bay Area?
Past my chichis. Yeah. Sacramento.
Sacramento. Sacramento. A town with the creepiest name of a part of town ever.
Old Sac. Yes.
It shouldn't yeah, it's you gross. Should never you should never
it's a bummer.
It's all kite stores and fudge.
Yeah,
anyway,
it is.
So
big cookies.
A lot of there's
you
a big
big ass cookie if you go to Old
right.
Sac.
Right. Bring two friends. And so not a bookstore to be found, sadly.
Right.
And but so Iron Maiden is yeah.
So let's get into it. So yeah, this is how it happened to me. And I had just written about this last year in my book and Forever Nerdy because I talked
Nerdy.
About a couple of bands. I delved really into Metallica and Rush.
Okay.
But Maiden for me, so I'm aware of all these other bands and so the new wave of British heavy metal is, I guess it would start 78, 79, and then, and it includes Maiden, a band called Raven, a band called Saxon, who were big. And so this is after Sabbath and Judas Priest and all that.
Okay.
So these are bands that were influenced by those bands, and they started to get heavier, and Iron Maiden's more influenced by UFO, who we were already talking about. Like,
yep.
So they took the twin guitar thing and went even faster and more, you know. I'm not a musician, so I can't really describe it. But it's more technical. Well, definitely more technical would be a good, a good way to describe it. And so that all came around that time. And it was an answer, too, to punk, because punk was so huge in the UK.
Right. I was going to ask.
All these metal bands were like, you know, fuck that stuff. And they were playing in these other parts of Britain.
Right.
You know,
but
these other towns like Birmingham and these other towns.
Right. But punk seems pretty heavy, too.
It was. And then Maiden's actually influenced by punk a little.
Right.
So Maiden takes UFO and then it takes classical music. And then it also takes their singer, their original singer, was kind of a punk guy. He had short hair. Everybody else in the band had long hair.
Yeah.
And this guy, Paul Di'Anno, their singer on the first two records, Iron Maiden, is self-titled the first record.
Okay.
And then the second record is Killers.
Okay.
And it's also the introduction of the first record of this guy. You've at least seen this guy, right?
I've seen the font. How about
You've seen the font.
I've
and
seen
have
the
you
Iron
seen
Man.
The skeleton long-haired guy?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Eddie.
This belongs
That's
on a mirror.
That's their mascot. Yes.
That,
or
that you get at a fair.
A banner?
Possibly.
I had a banner
a
on my ceiling. Oh, yes. I
on
most
the
definitely.
Ceiling.
Oh, yeah. I had some Iron Maiden banners in
right.
high school. And, yeah.
All right.
So that's the first thing I saw.
Yeah.
You know, when I, I'm already into heavy music and I want music to get faster and heavier, and it is like,
right.
I'm into this music that's changing at this time.
Right, you're
I'm
actually
into heavy metal, and it's getting faster. Like bands like Judas Priest were even getting heavier, and each record went, they were changing their style. And Scorpions got heavier too.
Yeah,
not British, but I'm saying all the other stuff that I'm listening to before Iron Maiden.
Right,
and then I see. I missed the first record because it came out so fast, and the second record was out immediately after. So
right,
it's
right.
1980 is the first record. Second record is Killers, 81.
Oh, God.
And I saw a kid that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
Had it on cassette. No, he must not have had it on cassette. He must have had it big enough to where I could see.
Yeah.
And I saw the cover and went, what's that? And he's like, yeah, they're Iron Maiden. You wouldn't like them, you know. And I was like, well, he was kind of a dick. And then I go home and I'm like, we gotta find this.
He doesn't know me.
Yeah, we
gotta
find
this. Yeah.
Larry, what's his name? You know, Larry.
Yeah.
I know his last name.
Oh, you
I'm
know
not
his last
tell
name.
You. But anyway,
you've already outed Mike.
Fucking Larry.
It's okay. Fucking Larry.
Well, Mike was a good dude. Fucking
right.
Larry. He didn't want me to like Iron Maiden
exactly.
like he did.
Exactly. He tried to sabotage.
But then later, he and I bonded over Rush.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Anyway, so
yeah.
Me and Larry. So Larry, I come home and I'm like, I gotta find this. Mm-hmm. And this is all the bands that I got into started this way of me coming home and going, Mom. Like, we got to go to the mall. I swear, every band that I was into, Kiss came from me hearing about it at school.
Right.
Fourth grade? Yeah, fourth or fifth grade, and then coming back and saying, I saw this 45 at school. It's this band called Kiss. We got to find them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then
awesome.
I saw went to the record store and saw their faces and went, holy shit. You know, like, so right, Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
We got to get this. We got to get this record. So I go and I get Killers.
Okay.
And I fall in love. Like, I've never heard anything like it at that point.
Okay.
It's heavy, but it's also melodic and it's hooky.
And it's fast.
Yeah, and it's fast. And then all the songs are about crazy shit.
Right.
About murdering. And there's a song called Murders in the Rue Morgue. There's a song called 22 Acacia Avenue. Oh, no, that's on Number of the Beast, the third record. But, so on the first two records, so then I go back in and get Iron Maiden 1.
Right.
And I'm into this band. And then they lose their singer. Oh, no.
What happened to him?
My teenage years, you know, I'm like, what's going
to
happen?
What's going to happen to the band?
Iron Maiden.
You don't care about his family. Well, you don't care about anything.
Yeah, well, you're 14. Right around then, Ozzy's guitar player, Randy Rhodes, who I named my kid after.
Oh, my God.
Rhodes. Yeah. He dies, and then Maiden loses their singer, Paul Di'Anno, and I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
And then they get this guy who I've never heard of, but he was in another band, and British band, and I'm like, oh, I'm reading the magazines, because I'm invested.
You're invested like, in the magazines.
Yeah, I hope Maiden doesn't go turn to shit.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, they were so good, and I listened to them on my paper out on cassette, and then they get better.
They somehow get better?
They get better because they get the singer, Bruce Dickinson, who is, in my opinion, one of the best metal singers of all time because he's operatic.
And this is the third album now.
Yeah, third album, Number of the Beast.
Okay. And 22 Acacia is on this, correct?
Yes.
All right.
And it's about the residence where a prostitute lives.
All right.
22
well,
Acacia Avenue.
You got to live,
It's basically, it's the heavy metal version of Roxanne.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's not word for word, but it's the same theme.
Right.
It's
right. Red light
Roxanne,
district.
Roxanne. Yeah. He's telling Roxanne to turn the red light off. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Or whatever. But Maiden's basically like Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Charlotte's her name. She was in her first song called Charlotte the Harlot.
Okay.
On the first record.
Yep.
Harlot,
she's still working.
Yeah.
By the third record,
she's still,
Yeah, she's still.
And the band kind of admits in the lyrics that they've gone to Charlotte, but then they're also telling her to quit. But it's good shit. So what got me into them was also the storytelling. So UFO, the lyrics weren't that deep.
Yeah,
but I still like them and still love them and liked them at that time. But Iron Maiden. So now I'm reading a lot as
you're
a teenager,
reading lyrics.
And I'm reading. What I'm reading.
You're reading books.
I was a well-read kid.
Right, right.
So then to find bands that are also well-read.
Yep.
And they loved writing songs about history and all these wars. Like that's as you get into Iron Maiden, there's a song. Called Flight of Icarus, where they tell the story of Icarus.
There's
a song called Rime of the Ancient Mariner, where they do a 12-minute version of the Ancient Mariner, and it's this epic song where they've got like boat sounds in the middle where they kill the bird, and then the bird's cursed or whatever. Now there's not a drop to drink, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Big metal epic. They play that shit live. It's huge. And
that's awesome. That got like more 14-year-olds into Greek and Roman mythology than anything.
It absolutely did. And then they did a record when I was a senior called Power Slave, which is Egyptian themed. That got me into all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, what? Who did make this pyramid?
Yeah.
And so that's Iron Maiden.
Yeah. And then they were my favorite band through the 80s.
Right.
And then as I got older, I started to get more into thrash metal and these other stuff, but I still love them.
Right. So what makes...
In high school...
Yeah.
I'm drawing this shit everywhere.
Right.
Like, I'm obsessed. I'm drawing the logo on everything I own.
On the desks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're
a desk
drawer?
I'm drawing Eddie on everything.
I'm sitting
with my friends talking. All I remember about, like, Spanish class in my junior year is drawing Eddie and talking about how Halloween 3 might be weird because Michael Myers isn't in it. Like those are my those are my real memories of that year. That's I don't remember what I was taught.
Right.
But those are the things that stuck.
Eighth grade science class, all I can draw is a Snoopy. Because that's all I did was draw Snoopy over and over and over again. And that is one of the reasons why I'm not particularly good at biology.
No.
Okay.
Spanish didn't stick either because I was drawing Eddie. I was just drawing a skeleton face with that white hair over and over and over.
Just that thing.
All the time.
I did like sitting at the desks where the kid who was a drawer would sit.
Uh-huh.
And then I would add a tiny Snoopy to it. And nice. And then the teacher would be like, you guys have to stop drawing on the desks, but she would always leave the ones that looked really cool,
right?
Which was made her a good teacher, right? She's I'm going to erase this because you got to work.
Got some talent, yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to erase the ones where they don't have the mm-hmm. where I'm going to need you to do something on the paper and then bring it to the desk later. So, So what's the difference between heavy metal and thrash metal?
Oh boy, I so wish we could play stuff. Because I'm sure listeners are like, tell her.
listeners are yelling, tell her, and they will. So they will
thrash
all email
still,
me.
Thrash still has some melody, some of it, but it also got faster, and then thrash took in punk influences too, especially. So thrash really came from Metallica being influenced by some of these bands that I was already talking about, the new wave of British heavy metal. So at the same time as Iron Maiden's third record, Metallica's doing their first and second record. And they just come from out of nowhere musically. I mean, it was so different from all these other stuff, but it was them responding to their influences.
So if I listen to a song from Iron Maiden's third album, and then I listen to Metallica's first album,
Kill 'Em All,
I'll hear the difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's so
aggressive, more aggressive,
even more aggressive than Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden is aggressive, but also,
I mean, lyrical kind of from the lyrics sounding
melodic, and there's another way of describing them. Well, with the singer, well. The fact that the singer is more operatic than what James Hetfield's known for is kind of his own thing.
It's very scratchy. Very scratchy. Mm-hmm. And what about Rush? When did they start playing?
What was their first record? So
are they
Rush,
from these?
No, they're Canadian.
And they're Canadian and from
the 70s.
From the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 80s was my big Rush time because my favorite record of theirs is a one called Signals, which must have been 82, 83, and that was when girls were mean and other guys weren't so nice, and I would go home and I would be sad, and Rush would make me not sad because they were writing lyrics. They wrote a song called Subdivisions that is just, it's about... Just
eviscerating
it's
the status quo.
It's about you might really like Rush.
Oh yeah,
Rush is for smart people.
Okay.
Rush is not a dumb band.
Right.
Some of the bands I like, Kiss, Van Halen,
and I am not as smart as you think I am. I think you're very smart.
I think you might like Rush.
Okay,
seek out Subdivisions at least. So Subdivisions, a lot of Rush fans like the heavier, when the more guitar, the more psychedelic, the more prog.
Mm-hmm.
Rush has been a lot of things.
Oh, really?
Over the years, yeah, they've always changed and always progressed. And I mean,
yeah, that's kind of cool. Is because
one of the most famous progressive rock bands, and they literally have always progressed. And they've taken in other influences. Like when the Police came out, they were influenced by the Police, and would try different, got more into keyboards and other rhythms. And Subdivisions is a song about being a teenager, living in suburbia, and knowing that you don't fit in, but being okay with it.
Okay.
Is kind of the takeaway for me.
Yeah.
As opposed to
that's cool.
Going to your school with a duster and
there's
and your
no
grandpa's
reason
weapon and doing so something bad.
Yeah, yeah. There's
they weren't telling you to do that.
No, they had other coping mechanisms that they would recommend.
Read a book, buddy.
Read a book.
Climb a tree and
this
And ignore those kids.
I remember telling one of my nephews, he was, I think, 13 or 14, and he was in it. He was depressed. And I was like, dude, I know 4 years sounds like a lot, but it's going to go by, and it's going to be okay, I promise. And he was like, yeah? And I literally I was like, yeah, I swear to God. Anything I can do to try to help, let me know. But it's a slog, and you're fucked because you're a child.
I already think about what I'm going to do when my kid goes through it. But I already know what to say to him. It's like, dude, you should try public school.
Right, it's brutal.
Dude, public school's way worse.
Plus, I think you've raised him with a fair number of distractions.
Oh,
right?
You
can, and what I did
as
a child.
He's a tiny me. You've met him.
Yeah, I've met him. That kid's hiding in a book. He's oh, this isn't going well. Allow me to go find a comic book or a chapter book, or I'm going to go put this cape on.
Right, yes, right? Absolutely. That's him.
So, do it, man. Do whatever you got to do to make it through these hard times. Mm-hmm. And, just try not to hurt anybody and yourself. So, it's because didn't they give heavy metal kind of a bad rap and say that it encouraged Dungeons and Dragons?
It always has. Yeah, exactly, like D&D. And I liked
D&D.
Well, yeah. And at the same time,
We should tell people I've done nerd poker.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, Brian Posehn, by the way, it's at Brian Posehn everywhere you want to go, and you'll find him and go to DC or Seattle in September and go see him.
Yes, please.
But nerd poker is all over. There's got to be 100 episodes, right?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I was at Earwolf for years, and then stopped down for 2 years, and then restarted. And it's in my house now.
Now it's just around your dining room table.
Yes.
With your friends.
Which is where D&D should be played instead of in an office somewhere.
Yeah, that's weird. With the lighting is much better.
Yeah.
And Dan Telfer's your GM. And,
yes.
And then you guys just run.
Yeah, and you got to come back because we've been doing a new thing for bonus episodes because we're on Patreon. And if people follow us on Patreon, we do 3 bonus episodes a month now.
Three?
Well, yeah, so we do one that's all strictly Q&A.
Okay.
Where they'll ask us questions about the current campaign or other things.
Right. Is it live streaming?
Month? No. But,
okay.
But
you
we're
just
looking
take questions
at doing
in?
That. Yeah, we're looking at doing stuff like that.
Wow.
But the other two, we just did one where we played The Thing. You know the game the movie The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
There's a new game. Where you play the thing, and one of you is the thing, and then you infect other people. And,
sure, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
all right. Like werewolf.
We played that. We did 2 hours of that.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious.
Super fun.
Yeah. The two that I've done, and I've just brought a character, and then we just ran a character thing. And
Danger Room. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was super fun.
Those are fun to do. Mm-hmm. Dan's a great DM.
Yeah. He does. There's always something to do.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to do is a Dungeon Master, Game Master, to make sure everybody has
also
something to do.
To rope your friends in and get them to shut the fuck up, because me and Blaine Kapach and Ken Daly can get off on little tangents, and
right.
Chris Tallman and Sarah, she's plays the game. And,
yep.
And on
they
track.
Just want to play the game.
But the guys are, all out of control.
Right, right. Blaine will riff.
I'm easily distracted. I hear my dog in the other room. I'm like, hey, what are you doing?
There's a dust mote.
Yeah.
What is that, squirrel? And but nerd poker, super fun. And I think I interrupted you about to go into more thrash metal, though.
We're
at 55. We can just talk about the future of it.
Let's talk about Iron Maiden, about how they're still big. So other things that you might not know about Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
There's a documentary. Is it called Flight of 666? So Bruce Dickinson, the guy I'm telling you about.
Right.
Amazing singer, right? So he's the guy who's, I'm worried that they're done forever. He comes in, changes them. They're even better.
Wow.
And then they, they become huge.
Yeah.
They're one of the biggest bands, and they still...
they fill stadiums.
Yeah, so South America, Europe, they're massive.
Yeah.
So them and Metallica, those are the two biggest
that have lasted,
hard rock bands.
Yeah.
And they still sell out everywhere and do these massive tours. And Bruce Dickinson flies the plane.
What?
He is a pilot.
Wait, the singer?
Yes, and he flies like a 747 or a 767, one of the bigger ones.
That sounds like ice fishing. That's like, I don't want to hang out with you guys. I'm going to learn how to pilot. And yeah. No? Is it not that? He just wanted to be the one?
he's that guy.
Yeah.
So when I was a teenager, he was also known, and he would use it on stage.
Yeah.
He was super into fencing, and he was super into soccer.
Okay.
And he's just this athletic,
hairy
dude.
Right.
Who's got this voice...
Like an angel.
Of an angel. And he's super masculine, and he's a great lead singer. He's like a great front man.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Okay.
You know, that's the thing. Like, they play arenas.
Yeah.
And you can feel it from the front to the back. Like, it's in South America, people sing along to the guitar parts. Like, people are obsessed
like,
with
la,
this
la,
band.
La?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They don't just sing the lyrics. They sing the whole fucking song. Like, people are obsessed with this band, is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah, they are. That's huge.
I'm one of them.
You are one of them, for sure.
Yes.
You're really nailing it, by the way. It's a, because it's hard to... It's hard to describe music.
I was worried about that because I can talk about film and comic books and you know and everything else, but and it's also as I'm driving over here, I didn't know how much you knew about any of these bands. Well. So to, I loved.
You'll be happy to know almost nothing, but to some extent it can't. Sometimes it helps that I don't know because then we can start very early and other people who don't know can hear the.
And so their live show also is, Alice Cooper, at least.
Right.
And Rob Zombie?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Okay. So Rob Zombie is, theatrical, and but Alice Cooper, I think, pretty much started.
Okay.
Well, one of the, you can go way deeper, and there's probably somebody.
That's their whole thing. Yes.
There's a British guy, I can't even think of the guy's name now, who did that first.
Okay.
You know, but,
Puddles the Clown.
There's somebody who wants to murder me listening to this.
No, they're just like, no, I know what you mean.
yeah. that theatrical thing, and then Kiss did theatrical Maiden.
Yeah.
They have a mascot, the Eddie guy.
Oh, they do.
He's not just drawn on my phone here.
Yes.
He'll come out. And so they'll have a guy like my size.
Oh, they have
size.
A full mascot.
Oh, they'll have a dude my size, a big gentleman.
Yeah.
And wearing the big
outfit.
Eddie mask.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, Eddie changed over the years, too.
Who named him Eddie?
Eddie the Ed. Well, so originally it was just a head.
Yeah.
And they started to call him Eddie the Ed.
Okay.
With their charming British accent.
Yeah, you drop an H with a cup, I think.
And that's how it all started. But so then, you know, in the first record, Eddie's just a head. The next record, Killers, he's got an axe in his hand, and he's murdering somebody. And then this record, he's
been given a torso.
Well, yeah, and he's kind of controlling Satan, who's controlling the other. Us. And then, and then the record after that, he gets a lobotomy, and he's in an insane asylum. That's
Peace of
Mind.
A skull has been given a lobotomy.
Yeah.
All right.
And then he doesn't have the hair anymore, which bummed me out because I loved long hair and I was starting to grow my long hair.
Right.
And then Eddie cut his hair.
That is devastating.
And
if
then
you're...
Power Slave is the Egyptian themed one. Stranger in a Strange Land is Heinlein, but
yeah, it is. The moon is a harsh mistress.
Yeah, but the cover is more like Blade Runner-y, Western mixed
weird.
With
like Westworld.
Eddie's part robot and part cowboy robot.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it had to be done. As long as you're changing with it. All right. It's been an hour.
We did it.
I just want to say thanks for doing it.
I could do another.
Oh, we'll have you back.
4 minutes on Iron Maiden.
At least another 4 minutes on Iron Maiden. thank you so much for doing the show.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Everybody, find Brian Posehn and
listen
Rangers,
to Maiden.
Listen to Maiden, you guys. Find UFO and find out what they're all about.
There were so many other bands.
So many other. There'll be another. And Rangers, take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?